it wasn't, I just don't remember it being this incredibly
this crazily brutal. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is not you in a hard set. This is like we're in a
No.
house.
Yeah.
So,
And it's funny
yeah.
too, because like a few years ago, like I FaceTime my friends sometimes back in California, and they're like, dude, you're getting skinnier. It's just like, no, I'm just working a lot. Like, and I just forget to fucking eat
Eat.
sometimes, you know? And I just don't realize it, because when I come home, what I'll do is, when I'm driving home, I'll think about food nonstop. But then once I put that car into park right in front of my house, I'm exhausted. Like, I'm so fucking
Yes.
tired. And I'm like, food's
I'm
not
just gonna
even
go to
worth
sleep.
it. I'm going to
Yeah.
bed, bro. Fuck this. I don't
Dude,
even want a
it's the
glass of water. I
same.
just want to go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same.
We are the
Get Real Zins podcast.
I am Adam Chase Reddy.
And I am Christine Chin. And surprise, we're both filmmakers.
We get into it by sharing secrets, advice, and gossip in filmmaking.
And we even get our other filmmaking friends to share theirs too.
So please, everybody, join us for an
An ode
ode
to
to filmmaking. In this season, we get into Christine's feature-length thriller fantasy, Ursley.
A small idea that made a killer swamp mermaid a reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, do I need to say more? We're back, okay? We are back for another episode, episode 97.
Oh shit, 97. Hey, we've been really good, consistent.
We have been. So this is episode 97 of the Get Realisms podcast. I am Adam Chase Rennie.
And I am at Christine Chen.
Listen, we're back. You thought we forgot you guys? Come on.
No.
Think we're out of our
never.
Minds? No. We wanted to do that. I wanted to do this for a while, but you know.
But life.
Life happens. Shit just happens, comes at you nowhere. And we're back though. So it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we're back and we're still chilling with you guys. We're gonna talk about there's a few things that happened.
Yeah.
Christine,
talk about movies.
You wanna, and we gotta talk about movies too. There's several movies that I've watched over the break. That I got to enjoy. Christine, give us an update. What's been happening?
What's the new
deal?
new? Okay, so we recently, Ursley, since this is season of Ursley,
yeah,
we
coming to a close.
Yes, it is coming to a close. We played at the, oh, hi from Austin, Texas, via Aberdeen, Washington. Yay! Oh, you're in Austin. Why are you in Austin? So Virgil met us at the Mermaid Museum in Aberdeen. So,
oh right, okay,
yeah, he's awesome.
Welcome.
They are awesome. Yes, and so, so Ursley recently played at the Atlanta Horror Film Festival, and we won Best Dark.
I saw that
drama. Yes, which I'm like, wait, I feel like we should be dark comedy, but it's okay. Dark drama works. It is a dark film here and there. And so that's cool. So yes, that's the new news for us. And then I've been working on set, and it's been lovely. Working on a series called Dick Money. Yes, Dick Money. And it's fantastic. It's written by a group of very talented women who kind of discuss what it's like to have children, basically, and be the primary caretaker, yet career, trying to maintain career and life and all stuff. And it's really well done, and it's interesting. What they've done great, which I loved about our set in Ursley, is that we had a lot of department heads that are women. This is still not extreme. This is still not common, but it is getting more common. On film sets, to have
it is getting
women,
more common, yeah.
Women department heads, but when it happens, it's very magical.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet somebody that I've been following through Instagram. Her name is Jessica Rodriguez. Steady Jess is her Instagram handle, but she's like an IATSE big shot Steadicam operator, and I've been following her through Get Realisms, trying to get her to come, like, to p- pay attention to Get Real Sims and see like if that's something that she would bring to her school, because she teaches at a Steadicam school as well, and she's awesome. And it was just crazy when I saw her on the call sheet, and I was like, oh my god, like worlds are colliding.
Yeah.
Because I'd been literally emailed. She probably thought like this must be like some weirdo who says she's a filmmaker and made this right. like book, but it's probably it's probably like a group of people who like just wanted to make just business people who like know nothing about film and just.
But you guys took a picture with Get Realisms, the book,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah, so we did, because we worked on set and
fucking awesome.
So it was really cool and chatted a little bit. There was not much time to chat, but I think a big thing that we brought up on set is that when there are women on set and in positions of leadership, there's a better understanding of what women have to go through from bodily, physical aspects that are not taken into consideration as much when there are men in positions of power, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And then we get it. It's like, it's hard to be empathetic and understanding we haven't experienced some of the stuff, you know? So we were thinking that, hey, there's things that might help within the industry is having rules or maybe just education, you know, about like, hey, like women, we have menstruation and it sucks. You know, I mean, Adam, you've been on set when Kelly and I and Roxy were all like synced together and we're like angry as fuck and
yeah, but I mean
and unhappy and like yeah. Do you think we want to be that way? No, that's like our physical. Well,
and you guys don't show it either. It doesn't affect the progress of y'all's work. You exactly. know, it has yeah. no effect, because I couldn't have been any of the wiser if I didn't even know, you know. And most right. of the time I don't, because A, it's none of my fucking business, and two, it doesn't affect the
right.
longevity of y'all's work, so it right. never really so it poses matter. A problem.
Exactly.
However, it is something to consider, though, especially dudes need to be a little more cognizant of that. And
right.
you're right. Dudes, in fairness, not everybody can be. You know, right. everybody yeah. can't be always aware, 100% right. woke, 100% everything all the fucking
sure,
time.
Sure, sure.
It's hard.
It
but
is.
But effort always counts. Yeah. So if you put in a little bit of effort, you understand that, like, hey, somebody might be going through shit. Maybe not. It's like the time of the month. It doesn't even need to be that.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It could be any yeah. fucking health concern. And
yes.
once it starts to.
Right. Yeah.
Like yep. once it starts to become like a thing that you think is going to be impeding on the set, you need to take yourself out of that equation.
Exactly.
This is with any
health concern. And
any health. Yeah.
And I think the issue is that when it comes to men of positions, and this is a generalization, but a lot of times it's easier to understand when it's something you've experienced yourself. And so when you are, if somebody is needing to step away for a moment and it's something that you don't understand why, it is not your position to question that person as to why they are taking themselves out of, you know, off a set. You should trust that there's a reason for that. And I think
exactly.
as a good leader, that's what needs to happen. And even if you cannot for the life of you be empathetic or understand why that's happening, you know, be grateful that you don't, because, you know, you're not experiencing that, but be understanding that everybody has their physical needs and everybody need, everybody's bodies do things that we can't understand, you know, and this is, and so it's not just a women problem. It's, you know, what if like you guys were bleeding out of your penises and shit happens, you know?
Oh, we'd be shitty as well. We would exactly. be very shitty.
Yeah. So it's just, it's interesting, because I think as producers, as anybody in leadership positions, we have to think we often are so torn between thinking for the greater good of the production that we forget that it is our team and the individuals within the team that make it possible for the overall project to be successful, right? And to do that, you have to take care of your team, and you have to be sensitive to the needs of each team member, whatever that means, you know? And so when there's stress and scheduling and stuff like that, you have to be able to step outside of yourself and, you know, understand that people respond to stress differently, that people, exactly, men PMS as well, and we just don't bleed. Look at that.
Oh, yeah, 100%
men PMS. Yeah, there is. There's IMS. I read IMS, I think irritable men syndrome. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, if we're hungry, we don't have enough sleep, we're, you know, it's hot, whatever it is. Like, it could be a little fucking thing. Dudes can just pop off worse than ladies sometimes.
Yeah, and Murray Teva
a lot of times
up a huge thing. He said, she said that, no one knew that Chadwick was dealing with colon cancer, you know, and there were so many people who had no idea of the context, you know, giving their, oh, he must be in drug, and all those like really insensitive things said. And I think we just have to understand that everybody is dealing with their body, and the body is not something that can be is predictable all the time, you know? And so if somebody needs to step away, needs to take care of stuff, it's to have that sensitivity, to know that what we're doing is a passion and a job, and it is a job that should enable our livelihood. And if we want to do this for the long term, then we need to be respectful of what people need to take care of themselves to be able to power through for the long term, you know? So, but it's crazy how this isn't something that everybody thinks about on set in positions of power, because I get it, you're thinking of the bigger picture of numbers, KPIs, you know, time, schedule, and it's your ass on the line too. So it's we just all have to be mutually understanding. And I think in the end, it's take care of your people, no matter what. Take care of your people, and sadly,
which is crazy. That's like not a common sense mentality to have. But I know, like you said, like sometimes it goes by the wayside because of everything, right? Like it could be life, it could be whatever. Yeah. But if you just put in a little bit of effort, you realize that you see that, oh, we're all in this together. Maybe I should work with y'all and not try to be combative. Stand up for what you believe in, but don't also be a dickhead and be combative because, you know, you're upset that a lady is not working as fast as the dude next to her. Like that doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, if you have that spirit and that mentality, and also the humility to know that when you're wrong, that goes a very long way. That shows not only trust, but it also shows that you can have faith in somebody to actually put in the effort to change and do better, you know? And I feel like there's some people who take advantage of that or don't give enough credit to that. But that being said, it's a consistent effort that doesn't require rewarding. Like it's a common sense fucking thing. Like, hey, maybe I shouldn't be shitty.
We can all do better. That's the beauty of this. Life is ever changing and ever moving. And there, if you hear this and you're like, oh crap, I need to be more aware, you can be. You can very much change the next time you're on set and someone's like, hey, I have to step away because I don't feel good or whatever. And it may be your gut reaction is like, no, we can't. We have to get done in this time and I don't give a shit. Maybe take some time to process and then be like, okay, we'll figure it out, you know? Because I think when it comes down to it, it's any problem can be worked around if you take the time to process and figure out how to do it. The problem is it's harder to do that, right? And this is the same thing with reacting. Well, I think all of us are dealing with different kinds of traumas, emotionally or whatever, and it affects the way we react. And if you take the time to pause and process and combat at it from a logical perspective, instead of an emotional, whatever your gut tells you to, in the beginning, you might be able to just react to something with more sensitivity. So and this is very hard to do. You put a lot of factors in, and sometimes you don't have that. You really don't. You need to make that decision right there. You know, I've been in plenty of situations like that, and there's like, it's stressful too. Like, we're not, ADs are not superhuman. Department heads are not, you know, and we've got production, you know, getting mad at us. We've got crew getting mad at us, and there's time, there's weather, there's so many factors. And so giving grace we understand, like, this is hard being in any position of power, you know, type thing. So it's just something to think about. That's for those who are department heads and want to be better at what they do. So, but that, it was a neat, because we were having that conversation on set, saying like, man, there needs to be like education or leadership, something or whatever, just to bring awareness that this is still a rampant issue on set, of like, hey, a lady brings up, you know, something that they need time for, and we aren't respected enough to be given that consideration, you know. Yet when somebody else comes with something that seems like a medical problem that they understand, then like, oh, right. Yeah, of course, you know, type of thing. So the crew, they were like, it's been amazing working with female heads, because like, one of the biggest things I'm learning is that we don't have to fight to get our voices heard on set. You know, it's like, hey, well, if we say something, it's like, oh, okay, like, yeah, like, of course I'm gonna listen and consider your things. I think on a set where there's just a lot of testosterone,
it is, ladies and gentlemen, like, that's the thing we talk about, like, oh yeah, there's a lot more women department heads on set. Still though, there's a lot of it's predominantly men.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say it. I mean, of course, that's not to say there isn't all female crew. Of course, right. there probably are. But, you know, working in Austin, Texas, I haven't really been in on a set that's majority women. I mean, well, a couple of times I have, for sure. Yeah. But it's been predominantly men, you know, not to say that that's
not bad, like,
horrible.
Yeah,
no. And of course, there's men who are so much more better to work with than others, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. We're not trying to generalize that men are fucking gross ass monster shitheads, you know?
Yeah. I think it's just like, there is a such thing as groupthink. One bad apple is a trickle down effect, right? So if you see someone of position of power doing something, it gives you permission to do the exact same thing, you know, sometimes. And so just everybody who is in a position of power, know that you have a great deal of responsibility into how you're affecting the overall livelihood of the set, and how everybody proceeds to treat other people. So lead by example, if you can. That's a long story short. Be aware, and if somebody comes to you about something physical, don't question them, you know, subconsciously, consciously, whatever. And, you know, yeah.
I mean, it sucks. It sucks we have to remind people this. I know this is kind of nothing that we don't know already, but this is also something that we have to also remind, because oops, people don't fucking realize, you know. Yeah. That's part of human nature. That's part of human life. You know,
exactly.
Sometimes you have to, it bears repeating, like, having respect for not only people of color, but even genders of all walks of life.
Yeah.
Like, that's of course it's a no brainer, but People sometimes don't know that. And, you know, peace and love to them, but get it together. You know, that's all I'm going to say. Get it together.
Get it together. And it's a reminder. We all, women and men, we all have different needs. And just because of a gender doesn't mean that their needs are subpar to somebody else's. Like, no, it's just, that's not just, at all. We have to be more aware of that.
And that includes women.
As well.
That's everybody.
But yeah, so I'm on that set. It's been lovely working with a strong group of women who know.
Did you say that was a short, a feature?
It's a series. It's like
It's a series. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's like a limited series type. In total, I think we're doing 6 different episodes and stacked together. We're essentially, page count wise, we're pretty much doing a feature because 6 different each of them. Page count wise, like 20, you know, like by the time you add it all up, it's about a feature. And they're doing incredible like things with what they have. It's limited in the writings. Susie's done an amazing job. The acting has been superb. So it's a fun set. I am realizing that I'm now feeling my age. So I come
really, your 30s are hitting you that hard.
They hit me so hard.
Damn, son. Shit.
It's just like, I don't know, I come off of a set and I'm like, damn, the next day, like right today, I'm like, everything
your
hurts.
Knees are harsher. Yeah, your back is getting a little more tender.
I'm like, my neck is like sore, and like things are sore, and I'm like, this, I don't remember things being this like tough. I remember getting off of like, you know, we've done like 18-day sets, 11-day sets and whatever, and with one day off in between, like after a 6-day week. And I just don't remember it being this incredibly
this crazily brutal. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is not even a hard set. It's like we're in a house.
Yeah. So, and it's funny too, because like a few years ago, I FaceTime my friends sometimes back in California and they're like, dude, you're getting skinnier. It's just like, no, I'm just working a lot. Like, and I just forget to fucking eat sometimes, you know? And I just don't realize it because when I come home, what I'll do is when I'm driving home, I'll think about food nonstop. But then once I put that car into park right in front of my house, I'm exhausted. Yes. Like I'm so fucking tired. And I'm like, food's not even worth it. Yeah, I'm going to bed, bro. Fuck this. Dude, I don't even want a glass of water. I just want to go to bed.
Yeah, it's the same. Yesterday was like today's, because today was my day off. I'm like, you know, I'm so tired, but I just want my comfort food. What's your comfort food out of curiosity? I'll
cereal.
Tell you what cereal. What?
Cereal. I love breakfast. I love cereal. I love cereal so much. If I get like a pretty good set, I treat myself to a fucking giant box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, boy.
That's so random.
And well, I fucking slam it. Yeah.
You don't have to cook that.
Pizza too, but I eat pizza on set. Like I don't even count that, you know?
No. Mine is, it's called Shing Ramen. It's that one that comes in the black or the red package.
Yeah, dude.
It's really cheap, but it's like premium ramen because it's not like your cup noodles or whatever. Yeah. And whenever I,
but it's spicier like, sometimes.
Yes,
oh,
I love it.
So
I love
good.
The spicy. So me anytime too. I feel like shit, I make that and with a little, I always put an egg in it, you know, and it has to, I have to put it in just when like I'm done cooking it, because then it like the soup that's in it cooks it, so then it's like running and stuff. There's an art to it.
It's like, and you're poaching the egg almost in the ramen. Yeah, I love egg in ramen too.
Yeah, so that's my bias. It's like if I feel like I think Roxy's is like Taco Bell. I think a lot of Texans are
Taco Bell. Here's the thing, like Taco Bell is like my go-to thing if I'm stoned at 1 a.m or I am like, I need food right now. What's the least amount of wait time in line? And it's usually Taco Bell. Or sometimes Whataburger, but I don't like Whataburger at all. Okay. So I go straight to fucking Taco Bell first because it's always shorter in line. And it's cheap as fuck. $6 at Taco Bell can get you like a half a day's meal.
Jesus. Yeah.
Like it's pretty fun. It gets you like a couple chalupas, a Crunchwrap Supreme, some fucking nachos if you want it. Yeah. Like it just like it gets you some shit. So yeah, I'm curious, Taco Bell, but cereal is like fucking like the nectar of the gods for right. for Adam. Yeah.
And dude. So just I don't know why I'm like cereal.
I know, but, dude. I know it's weird because like I said it to someone. It might have been Stryker. I don't know. But because they asked me the same question, like what's the thing that like you like to reward yourself with? I'm like, dude, when I go to the grocery store, my first go-to is either Cinnamon Toast Crunch, or if Crunch Berries are like on a fucking crazy ass price, mm-hmm. I'm gonna fucking get that boy. Jesus. And I'm just gonna buy a big box and get a giant bowl. Have you seen the movie Friday?
No.
Okay. It has Ice Cube and Chris Tucker in it. And
it's very possible.
There's one scene where Ice Cube ran out of bowls. So Ice Cube poured cereal and milk in a giant popcorn bowl. And sometimes that's what I do.
Ugh. That sounds awful. It kind of reminds me of that scene. There's a scene in Forgetting Sarah Marshall where he's like sitting on the couch. And he's this giant, like,
I never seen bowl. Forgetting
okay.
Sarah Marshall.
Okay, you have to watch it. But now I understand. I'm like, oh, it's a, I don't know. So somebody, I'm going to answer this question. We both can answer this question so you don't get fraud. So I don't know how to say your name. Jigar, but the question is, hey, you both, can you help me with how to be a perfect script supervisor? That's a good question. So for people who are popping in who don't know what a script supervisor is, it's somebody who watches the screen and who's at the monitor all the time, and they're basically making sure that whatever you are shooting will cut together and makes sense. And we call it continuity oftentimes. So a way to think about it is like if somebody picks up a bottle in their left hand in the scene, and then they accidentally in the next scene pick it up with their right hand, you cannot cut those two shots together. It's impossible. Like it will look like shit. It will take you out of the film instantly because you'll realize like, hey, like they literally went into this room with the bottle in their left hand. How is it magically in their right hand? You know, sure. So I would say to be a great script supervisor, some of the things that, you know, there's the obvious things. Look for continuity mistakes. Look for continuity mistakes in the art, in the back room, and in stuff between shoot, between days within the script, you know, because nothing, most of the times, unless you have lots of money, most films are shot out of order because it's based off of scheduling with locations, with efficiency, with lighting, with wardrobe, all sorts of stuff. And the things that get missed a lot are continuity that deal with effects, so like blood is a big one because sometimes you have to do the aftermath first, and without establishing how somebody is wounded, this is a big art. My roommate is in makeup, and so this drives her up the wall all the time. Without establishing how that wound is, how it came to be, it's very hard to understand like the flow of blood and how the blood is going to end up later. If you're shooting shots of, oh, we see that he's been shot already, and this is like 2-3 hours into the script basically, and then we go and shoot how he got shot like 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later, whatever, you know. So that is, things like that are stuff that's missed, especially in the moment. So blood, makeup type gags. Art is a big one. In our set, there's one, in Ursley, since we're talking about Ursley, there's one very big continuity mistake. And it's nobody's fault. It's just very hard to keep track of. But when you're doing stunts and there's lots of moving pieces as to where props are being put or where things are being moved around, and let's say you only get through half of the scene and you have to pick up the scene the next day or something, and it may not be the first thing they're shooting, or like somebody actually lives on the set that you're at, so things get moved, all sorts of stuff, it is absolutely necessary for you to take lots of photos. Photos of the monitor, photos of the actual scene, everything, because you're going to have to recreate that the next time you shoot again. And sure, you're going to be like, I'm going to remember that cup that the lead actor uses, and it's going to be right there. I totally will. You will remember nothing.
But you may not.
You may not, exactly. You might, but 50, it's a 50-50 toss-up. And it's depending how tired, the amount of stress you're under at during that the amount of duress you're under at that moment will determine the probability of you remembering these little tiny minuscule details. So yeah, the less sleep you have, the probability decreases significantly. I would love to know what the correlation is, but right. Yes. So taking lots of photos, and I think a big mistake that happens is, sure, you take a photo maybe of the, let's say you go to the actual scene, you take the photo. I think it's also very important for, especially the script, you to take a photo. And they're always doing this. They're taking photos of the actual screen of every shot. And this is very important. And I think it's something that's overlooked by script supervisors, because if you're on a bigger set, you're going to have somebody who does DIT, which is they're the person who is in charge of ingesting the content, the cards that are being shot or film, or, that's the film loader, but, and somebody sitting at a computer organizing it and whatever. The problem is maybe you're on a set that doesn't have that. So once the card is shot and the footage is dumped and you're like, oh shit, can somebody remember what we saw in the wide shot?
Uh-oh.
Well, you don't have the ability to go find that car, because it's probably erased by now, to go and look for that exact shot, to compare what you saw in the wide shot to what, and it's always like a split second that you need that information, even on a big set that has a DIT, it takes some time to go through all the footage and find that exact clip and be like, okay, in scene one, take five, this is what this it looks like, and that's what we have to match this close up to, so a great script supervisor can go like, the director's like, I don't fucking know like what we're matching to at all. Can somebody pull up a shot from 3 days ago when we shot the wide shot of this exact same day? Like what did we see? Script supervisor comes with their iPad, their phone, their whatever, they scroll, and it's a matter of seconds. That's how you know they're very good. They pull it up and they're like, this is the shot that we shot like 5 days ago, and this is from scene whatever, this is the wide shot, this is what you're going to cut to, and this is what you need to match to. And you need to be able to pull this up with it. Okay, 10 seconds is like, no, it's probably more like 5 minutes, but like in less than 5 minutes, you need to have an answer for that. And this is the part that a new script supervisor may not know to do, And it is, you probably will need to do this maybe like three times during the entire duration of the shoot day or even the set. But those three times when they come up and somebody has an answer immediately is like, oh, thank God. It's like having it's like having a medic on set. Mm-hmm. The probability of somebody like injuring themselves like in a very terrible way on set is hopefully minimal. Hopefully, if you're doing your set right. But when it does happen and you don't have a medic, like
It goes to DEFCON 5 very quickly.
It's terrible. Yeah. And the problem is, these are positions that people are like, well, like, what's the probability of that happening? Like, we don't need a medic. We don't need a script supervisor until, God forbid, something happens. And
you want to gamble those chances.
Exactly. Exactly. So the second thing is having photos of the monitor of anything that will change continuity wise. We know a very good script supervisor, Eve. She will, anytime, Eve Butterly, anytime somebody comes in with a stab wound or something makeup wise, she has her iPad and she's taking pictures of that person's face, you know, anything from jewelry. Yes, that particular department should have those photos. However, a lot of the times the person who takes the photos may not even be on set because they're busy getting 50 other people ready somewhere else far away in base camp. And the time that it takes to walkie somebody or text that person, hope that they have their phone on or whatever to get that very important info, that time, you sometimes don't have that time.
Right.
So that's why the script supervisor, if they can do that extra bulletproofing of continuity, will make you a beautiful, brilliant script supervisor. So yeah, sure. You're like, okay, well, Art's supposed to have taken this photo. But like, that's the whole thing of this checks and balance system, that is that we're all trying to bulletproof each other's mistakes. We have to. And each of these are layers of ways to prevent mistakes, right? And because everybody's thinking of what they need for their department, sometimes it's hard to see from a big picture. And I would say script supervisor is like the big picture of how everything will cut together. Another suggestion is a good script supervisor knows about eye lines. And this is a big mind fuck. Like, even me as a, like, eye lines are a weird thing. You can, because of the way that where the camera is, you could be looking at a person the exact same way that the other person looking at the person, but like on camera, it doesn't look that way.
It doesn't.
It's so weird. So it sometimes like just because you have the camera like slightly angled off and you're like looking directly at the person, that actors sometimes have to look like several inches away from that person and talk to something else in order for it to look like they're talking to that person. It's like the strangest thing
ever. Because then the next shot is so jarring because it's not aligned to where the eye line actually is.
Yeah.
So that really, like, I've seen that a few times.
Conversations. On, yeah.
Like, there was one short that I worked on. It was from these students from UT, and they needed like a set dresser and stuff. And I didn't even notice until like somebody like rolled playback. And then once I saw it, I was like, wait, doesn't it look weird that like, if like, let's say like somebody's like talking like this, but then when they do the reverse shot, it looks like they're looking like
somewhere else
in another fucking direction, even though the camera placement is and the eye line is where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It still looks fucking strange. And I pointed it out and they're like, I think it'll be fine. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's not till you get into the editing room and then you like try to piece it together.
And
you're like,
oh, and then somebody messaged me and they're like, yeah, you're right. It was actually something wrong was the eye line. Like, it is what it is. What can you do? Yeah. But that's good. It's good advice though. I mean, because a lot of times, like that's a good way of putting it too, because you're right. The script supervisor is like the big picture literally for the entire, because what an editing nightmare that will be when you go through the footage and you see all these little tiny continuity mistakes and shit like that, you know, even the biggest like fucking films, like Marvel, Game of Thrones, perfect example of Game of Thrones with Khaleesi and coffee, the Starbucks cup, you mean?
Yeah.
So again, like
whose fault is that? Right. Like it's, you can't really pinpoint. Okay.
That's a big show.
It's so hard because
it is hard. It is
every,
hard.
Every department is in a point at each other because it's like, okay, whose fault is that? Sure, it's maybe the person who shouldn't have put down the coffee cup. There's that. But maybe they didn't know what was in frame. Okay. So then
right.
the person who's in charge of the camera, but they're looking at the frame. So maybe they're not seeing that one little tiny
they're
detail.
Not paying attention to right. the coffee cup.
Okay,
the
art
left.
Department, you know, yeah. sure. They're right. set and they didn't check the frame and it's there. Great. And then the script supervisor, continuity and everything, that's something that somebody, so that's, there are all these little layers and it is so easy with time, stress,
yeah.
whatever, to miss these little details, but these little details like
they
take
count.
You out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, so blood scene, take a lot of photos, answer the question, eye line, attention to detail. Yeah, it's just being like nitpicking about the details and like,
and also like that's the other thing too. I feel like there's some script supervisors who I worked with who don't really call it out until it's like
too late, yeah.
almost too late. Yeah, like I, and it blows my mind because, and a lot of people get complainy and they're like, "Hey, scripty, can you?" Shut up, you please. Not. You know, yeah. but it's just like, no, they have to shout something. They have to say right. something or right. we're just going to act like nothing happened. And then guess what? At the end of the day, it's a scripty's fault. Yeah. You know,
the issue is that, especially with new directors, nobody likes when people point out problems. And that is literally the
yeah,
whole
I don't
job
understand that,
of
but
a script
yeah.
supervisor is to point out, stop, we can't shoot because there are problems. And I don't know, it's ego or whatever, but like it is annoying to stop a set when you're everybody's supposedly ready and to fix problems, but that's their job, is to point out problems so that it later on you don't pay for those problems and they're not fixable. Yeah,
exactly.
So yeah, it's, I mean, script supervisors is a huge role, and every role is important, but these are like positions that you, as you do more and more films, you become even more aware of their importance. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think when I first
yeah.
started film, I was like, I don't know what the fuck a script supervisor does. Like, they just take notes, you know?
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Yeah, what's yeah. the big deal? But then, like, I get into the editing room, and I'm like, fuck! Like, I didn't pick this up. Shit, the script supervisor didn't grab this. Oh, crap. The person, I can't cut these two together. So that's, it's all these things down later that you pay for, that you learn mm-hmm. the hard way, why all these departments are important, and so
important,
so important. So hopefully that helps with your needing advice about being a good script supervisor. I think, did I miss anything? The eye lines, you know, I remember my first set fun employment, we had a script supervisor. We did not it was Larissa in training. Basically, she became an incredible script supervisor later on in her career, but she'd never done it before. Most of us had never done most of the jobs on set, and that's okay. You know, when you're starting, that's why when you first start, it is an outlier for people to have an incredible first mm-hmm. movie, because you're making mistakes a lot. And so I remember cutting a scene and like somebody having literally the wrong colored shirt, like in another scene that proceeds after that. I'm like, oh crap.
Just some obvious shit that, you know, is overlooked. Oh no. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But like, that's just what happens because
yeah.
it's scheduling and nothing's done in order and stuff. But yeah, the obvious is, you know, of course, continuity, but it's more than that. It's I think the part
yeah.
that people forget is the other things. The eye line is something people forget about, and the taking photos and having an answer about certain details of the scene is people forget about that. They always are like, oh yeah, scripty does continuity. Well, there's more than to just pointing out things that are misplaced. There's an art to it for sure. So hopefully it answers your question. Yeah. So let's see. What were we talking about?
We were talking about rewards and food, like what you like to eat and stuff. But I actually wanted to ask you though.
Yes.
You say you're working on a limited series. Have you worked on other limited series before?
I have directed. I mean, when I say series, I'm not talking about like 30 minute, like it's like web type stuff. This one is particular. It's not like a full.
Oh, it's not like a narrative show. Okay.
No.
Gotcha.
I mean, this is kind of like what we did with Do Better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, which.
But still, though, that's intense. Just it is because alone.
It is because I wonder. Well, it's probably different because on a TV series, it's 30 pages, so you're probably spending like 10, you know, but 5 days on one, or four days, 5 days on one, probably more than that, honestly, on one episode. So you're probably shooting it as if each episode is like a feature in itself. But with web series, because the page counts are so short and many of the things take place in like a similar location, you're often you're shooting several. I'm sure this happens in TV and you're often shooting several episodes, in a series on the same day. So so we were shooting like episode 2, episode 5, 6, you know, but scene 2, 4, 5 from those different episodes on the same day. So that's the challenge, is like, okay, between the different episodes, like which shoot day are we doing, which part of the scene is it's a even bigger mindfuck, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Someone just asked me, hey Christine, would love to know more about your series. Any chance for an interview once it gets to go? Yeah, totally. Also, I just wrote my first pilot.
Oh, did shit, you did? That?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Shit. Fuck
my
yeah.
First pilot. So, yeah.
Wait, no, totally. Is this thing you... No, you didn't talk about this in Burning Man, right?
I don't think
after Burning Man? Yeah. Okay. I don't know about this.
Okay. Burning Man, I had a series of idea that came out.
Oh, yeah.
I've outlined that. I haven't actually I've written 10 pages of it, but I haven't like gone through the
this is end. A different pilot you're talking
this
about.
Is a different pilot that I have been thinking about for a very long time.
Oh,
and it finally came into fruition.
Really?
So I'm very excited. I'm submitting it to some contest. We'll see what happens. But Camille, for the first time, read it, was like, pretty actually several people have read it and be like, holy shit, like actually not many notes type thing. So usually when I submit something to my friends, they're like, oh, and this is wrong and this is wrong and this, but like they really like it. But it's I may have talked about what this concept is, but it's finally a 30 page pilot. Mm-hmm. It's called Makeshift Fam. But it's how I grew up in terms of being a first generation Asian American.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big, it's inspired because we're about to hit holiday season, right? Not about to, we are like with the major ones like Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff like that, which is crazy. But one of the things being a Asian American is that your extended family doesn't live, for the most part, doesn't even live in the States. And they're living in Taiwan and internationally or wherever, and it's expensive for them to come and visit you, right? So unlike traditional American families where you can travel within the States and relatively economically, holidays are about those family reunions a lot of times at least amongst my friends, non-immigrant friends. And I was always envious because their holidays were like big ass groups of people, maybe wearing matching pajamas in their big family group photo, you know, stuff like that. And like,
those photos.
They're so freaking cheesy.
They're cringy as fuck.
I freaking love them though. I love them. And so mine was different. Our holidays, for the most part, were four people, me, my mom and dad, and luckily mom and dad and my brother. But something that we did that I don't think is very super common amongst American families, but probably more so now that there's more immigrants stuff, is that in Colorado, where I grew up, somehow my parents found four other sets of families that all had kids around the same age, that we would have our own holiday celebrations. And I became closer to these kids than I did to my own cousins and uncles and aunts abroad, my blood uncles and biological uncles and aunts. And like, I think what was unique about it is that we were all very similar age. Like, I think age difference, maybe like 2 years, 3 years, like type thing, that's about it. And so like, they were my cousins and whatever. I was pretty much one of the only girl basically in this group. It was all
boys. Oh really?
Yeah. There was one other girl, but like she was not as close to everybody, and their family wasn't always at our events, but it's about that. It's about what it's like to grow up where you don't have extended family nearby, mm-hmm. and what it's like where you have essentially a makeshift family, and what it's like.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's centered around, I want you to read it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would love to. Yeah.
Okay.
Look,
cool.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you. I need notes. Cause it's, I have to finish it by, I have to turn it in by Halloween actually. So I'll send it to you today, actually,
mm-hmm.
The pilot. So I'm very happy about it. But
kind of reminds me of like a better, well, I mean, yeah, I guess a better version of more diverse version of Stand By Me. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't seen that movie. Is it good?
It's a movie about friendship, but
okay.
it centers around a bunch of kids wanting to look at a dead body.
Oh shit.
So but the journey is what counts, not the destination. Does that make sense? So the journey of it all, of them going on train tracks to find this dead body, is an adventure just in of itself. And I love it because they're all bonded like brothers, and it's a bunch of white boys, but they're all bonded like brothers, but they're from like separate families and shit, but they go to school together. They grew up together. They, you know, live near each other and shit like that, you know, but I'd love to read it. Yeah. Fuck yeah. I love any buddy thing like that. Like, fuck yeah. Like, I love, like, especially like finding your family that isn't relative by blood, because right. I have so many of my friends who I count as families, but they're not part of my family, but I know them so much better than any of my cousins on my dad's side, any of my cousins on my mom's side, like any of those bloodline family members. I only know maybe a few, very few, in a giant vast of the family tree. But with my friends, thick as thieves, you know, like where we do shit together, we party together, we, you know, do the dumbest things that I probably should be dead for, but you know, it we were kids, you know, and those were like my brothers and sisters. So yeah, that's cool. I love that, those kinds of stories, you know.
Well, there you go. I mean, this is what I'm excited. It is. So yeah, I just forwarded it to you, and I it's fun because it's got some photos for context.
So you can see you had like photos,
great 80s, 90s photos. Yeah. So I just forwarded you the pile. I'm very excited about it. I have like all sorts of ideas as to what I want to do with it and stuff like that. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm excited.
I wrote it. It was
how long did it take you to write?
You know what? It didn't
with the conception of the idea to actually putting on paper.
Okay. Then several years.
Okay.
Because I'd been thinking about it for a very long time.
Right.
I voiced about it. I would say like at least because before Ursley, I already had this idea. Maybe 2 years I've had this idea.
And it's just been sitting in the back of your head?
yes, it's been sitting in my back of my head. And here and there, I'll write notes here, you know, on, I have this thing where, Jessica. So I'm such a big ass. Steady Jess. Yeah, so Steady Jess, who I was talking about earlier. I don't fangirl very much, but when I do, it's really embarrassing.
I'm fangirling too.
So yeah,
I look at your stuff, Steady Jess. Let's go. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the family.
Hello. Yeah. So I just worked with this. Sorry. Earlier in this podcast, I talked a lot of shit about you, Jessica, in a good way. And about how it's amazing to work with strong female department heads and everything, and how it's important to have context with how we help each other out on set, and how lovely it is to have strong female department heads on set. So Steady Jess or Jessica is a very, very amazing Steadicam operator. And it was just crazy that we'd been chatting briefly through Instagram, and she probably gets reached out to all the time, and then see her on the call sheet, and it was just really weird, but awesome. So anyways, yes, it was great working with you yesterday, Jessica, and hopefully our paths cross again. So yeah, it's hard being, this podcast is not going all over the place, but
it's fine. We were talking about makeshift fun. Bam.
Yeah, so. Which actually has lots of Steadicam in it, in my head at least. So,
for the pilot?
For the pilot, yeah.
Oh, okay. If you already have the shots in your head. That's awesome.
Well, that's how I write.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah, when I write, yeah. I very much see it already, mm-hmm. and yes, it has lots of city stuff in it. So hopefully one day I'll be able to afford Jessica to come to my own set and to be my Steadicam operator. So yes. Yeah. We think in shots. Yeah. I don't know how you work, Jess, but I read something or I hear music or someone describes the scene or they're like, hey, this funny thing happened this other day. And I see it. I literally see it. And jokes, especially, because I think a lot in comedy terms, and people will be like, oh, you know, I'll never drink that much again. And then I literally, my brain goes for the first scenario, cut to what they just said they would never do.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You just think of
my life. Yeah.
Yeah. You probably go into a location, any place, oh, I'm going for brunch.
It's Wayne's World. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Party time, excellent, you know.
Yeah, you go in for brunch, you're like, wow, this location is amazing. I would have to move those chairs and stuff, but then if I go in and catch the shot of the waiter bringing in the tray, and then follow that tray all the way to the person, and then they reveal it, and then we lift the boom up. Yeah, you probably think about all this stuff.
That's awesome.
I do this all the time. That's why we can't bring you to nice places. Yeah. Yeah, any place, any location. I'm like, this is a good location. I gotta go talk to the manager.
Yeah. Would you be okay to have a set here? Weren't you just eating here? Yeah. Theory, but I want to film here.
In theory, it might not happen tomorrow. You may not even be working here by the time that we actually.
You might not even remember me the next time you see me.
But I would still like your information all the time. We were just talking about, I finished up writing my first pilot, Jess, and it's called Makeshift Fam, but it's about growing up in a first generation immigrant family. And but I had talked about you earlier, and you always look at floors and corridors. Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because you're or doorways, probably, right? I'm gonna hit that doorway if I were to spin this way, or I'm gonna trip over that, or totally. It's cool to see how I'm watching the way you're moving and everything, and it's cool.
Steadicams have amazing peripheral vision, by the way. So many Steadicams I work with have incredible peripheral vision, and I feel like that's a standard for steady operations.
Frames and frames.
Frames and frames.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Frames and frames. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Our brains are frames and frames. We see the frame always.
It's a dance.
Yes, it is a dance. That is for sure. It's a dance. Yeah. Jess, how long have you been teaching at your Steadicam school? Or did you found it, or were you part of like a group that founded the Steady school? So, because you, yeah, just teaches. And I think that's important. That's something else that I think as when you've been trained by
motorcycle riding. Huh.
I find that when you are, the more you work in this industry, the best way you can give back is to teach. For vision.
Dang, Steady Jess. Yes. Shit.
Shit.
Dropping fucking knowledge, dude.
But yeah, Jess teaches and I teach, and I think it's up to us to make sure that the next generation of filmmakers are not assholes and are conscious of women's needs and are not sexist and all this other stuff. And so I want to teach and shed the knowledge, because I don't want to be, we were just talking, Jessica and I were talking about like, hey, we can't do this forever.
No,
it's not possible with our bodies, like literally not possible. Yes, a support system. Yes, build a support system that so that when we can't do it anymore, we can hire people to do it for us. Yeah, I was telling Jess that's why we created Get Realsms, is so that when I'm 70, it's still doing well, and yay, passive income.
Passive income, knowledge. Shared with yourself and the world.
Yes, side hustles. I mean, the
side hustles, yeah.
Side quest, but because Burning Man. But about like doing side things to support your main goal. Side hustles should be another. That should be a shirt too.
I gotta say, you'd be, Christine, you would fall into the video game world so fucking heavy if you invested into it. I swear to God, I feel like you would be addicted to video, because like it's everything that you would want, like just with terms of organization, preparedness, training, executing everything. Like it's like leveling up, you know, it's like playing Dark Souls, you know. But that's cool though. Thank you for shedding some dollars.
Thanks for joining.
I appreciate you. We gotta have you on the show. Please message one of us. We would love for you to come on the podcast.
Well, now that you know we're real people, or I'm a real person, and I'm not just like
I'm not a real person, but
yeah, you are. Go. So Adam, my co-host, is art. So that's why I you saw me hustling some art on set, because two of my very close friends are art people. So I'm always like, all right, art needs people. So I'm like, oh, move some furniture. Video games are good for yeah.
Totally. Video, yes! See, thank you, Jess. I appreciate it. Video games are, see, people, play more video games. Be more lazy. Oh, speaking of lazy, we're about an hour on this in this pod. So, when do you want to? You want a few minutes?
Yeah, we can bring it to a landing.
Sure.
Yeah, I was excited to. Oh, thank you, Chris. I'm glad you listened. In secret, and I'm glad that Jess came on and said hi. And that was just so crazy. Like I literally been talking to Jess for like a few here and there, being like, please talk to me, you're so cool.
Notice
on,
me
on Instagram, please. And then like showed up and I'm like, oh my god.
My dream, like, has come true.
The fuck are you? I'm like, I'm AD, you have to listen to me. Yeah. So
respective superiority,
respect, major respect for you, Jessica. And it was amazing to work with you. And thank you.
You
so
as well,
much.
Virgil. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you guys for listening. So good questions today.
Great questions. Thank you for the participation, y'all. This was awesome.
Chris, I'll totally do an interview about series and working on series and stuff like that. So for sure.
We all want to know about it.
And what are we slinging? We are slinging.
Oh, what are we slinging, Christine? What do you think we are slinging here? You think we've forgotten what the podcast is all about, ladies and gentlemen? Come on. We're not crazy. We're just trying to spread the good word of getrealisms.com.
Yes, Get Realisms. It's a fun book. It's always in progress. So this is what Adam has is the first edition. This is the second edition. In fact, the reason why we have a second edition is because professionals like Jess give us great constructive feedback to make it better, because that's what we want to do, is spread knowledge that is accurate and fun and makes sense for the industry. So yes, so feel free, go in. If there's anything you think we can make better, we're always down for feedback. And yes, tell people who are in it. It's just fun, honestly.
You got your book, Jess?
Yeah.
Let's go, dude. Signed. Let's go. Yes. And signed? I didn't get my shit signed. What the fuck, Christine?
I'll sign it when I see you.
I'll get Kelly and Jason to sign it.
Yes. Yeah. So, but yeah, we really appreciate it. And keep doing what you do. Keep spreading the knowledge. That's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to make people, to get more people in the industry, but doing it right.
And doing it right and doing it to the best that you can. Ability.
Yes. And it is okay if you were listening to this and you're like, oh man, like I was a dick to that person the other day. You can always change. So you can always be the next time more aware of how you treat crew members, more how you run your sets, what the set provides and all that stuff. Take care of your people and yeah, ask questions. I don't know everything at all.
Have you ever seen the movie Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger?
Yes.
You are always worthy of changing your stars.
Mm.
You're always worthy of changing your stars. Fantastic. I love that. I love that quote.
So that's a good ending.
It's a great ending. So, ladies and gentlemen, getrealisms.com to pick up your book, urzleyfilm.com for your podcast needs and your Urzley needs. Get the film, bring your friends together, watch a cool ass mermaid film, and spread the knowledge.
Jess, you got to watch my film. I have a feature called Urzley. So I'll send you some info now that I know we all both know we're real people. It's a mermaid film. It's a feminist killer mermaid film. You got to watch it. It's video on demand. And Adam and I both worked on it.
Yeah, it's the quintessential mermaid film.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I shot some stuff. You'd be proud of me.
We did a thing, okay? That's been the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I ran out of podcasts. Christine, you ready to leave?
Yep.
Listen, thank you so much again, guys. Sorry it's been, a few weeks. Almost
it's maybe okay. 4 weeks? Life happens. Yeah,
life happens.
We're working professionals. We don't just, come on and this is all we do. We actually work in the industry full time,
and as much as we want to do the podcast consistently, we also have lives, and like you said, we have professional lives that sometimes are just we can't do anything about it.
Fuck your podcast. That's what it says.
Fuck your podcast. But it's a free podcast, and we're gonna always try to be here for y'all. Thank you so much for watching. Please subscribe, please listen, and we're on Spotify, everywhere you get podcasts. So, if you don't want to watch the stream, you don't have to. You could just listen to it on the Spotify's.
Yeah, listen to us.
Hours of content.
Or if you do want to see our faces and stuff, YouTube, you can find our
almost 100 hours of content, ladies.
That's nuts.
That we have put out. Okay.
It's actually probably already 100 hours because
it probably is
as we go over and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
And it gets better. It's really fun. I just edited
It does get better. It does.
I just edited a snippet of a podcast from the day I found out that I committed to making Urzley.
Oh,
edited snippet and I started laughing. I was like, holy shit. Like it was episode 38 or something of season 2. And I was where was I? Because I was in a hotel. I was on set in Virginia. That's why I was in a hotel. And the podcast was me telling you that our idea of Urzley got greenlit. And that we were committed to writing the script in a month and delivered it in December. So this was like November of 2020 or 2021 or something. 2020.
No, it's 2020. Yeah.
2020. Yeah. So literally just edited like a marketing bit from that.
Because we came to Louisiana in April, end of April of 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is crazy.
But that's crazy.
Yeah. And I didn't have a mic then, so the sound's not as good, but it's like fun. It's fun to see the progression.
Yeah. And now we've like, after what? After 60 episodes, we improved, we improved our microphone.
We have a whole movie.
Yeah. We have a whole fucking movie. Good God. Yeah. All right. That's been it. I have that's to pee. It.
We,
so
we gotta go.
We gotta go. Thank you guys so much. We love you. Subscribe. We'll be here hopefully next week. If yes. not, you'll see us soon for sure. Thank you, Facebook. Thank you, Instagram. We love you. Goodbye now.
Bye.